Book of the Bible is
Leviticus.
Ezekiel.
Do you know why?
It was a kick-ass book.
Because he's out of time. Eternity. Because that's when we're studying tonight.
Yeah, that's true. But it's because Ezekiel is a book about your subconscious mind. It's a book about the unseen things. That's its function. That's its purpose. That's why nobody understands it. That's why they keep saying it. Ezekiel proves that Russia is going to invade Israel. And there's helicopters and flying saucers and stuff. The word, even his name, Ezekiel, means God strengthens. And the reading for Ezekiel is chapter 1 through chapter 3. But we probably will try to pick up on chapter 4 also, because it's got this great scenario in it. So let's do it.
So this is Pentecost reading.
This is Pentecost reading. The actual Pentecost reading is Ezekiel 1:1 to Ezekiel 3:27.
So you said his name meant 27. What? Strengthened by God?
Huh? Strengthened of God.
Oh. Kind of like has an empowered kind of.
It's empowered. That's what it means.
Ooh.
But it's empowerment. Ezekiel's call, his commission, his vision, is the reading for Pentecost. But it's also your call, if you have ears to hear. See, most of the time, you run around and you think, I'm just this poor little speck on the dust of eternity. And so therefore I have to protect myself and get all I can get while the getting's good. And I can be a victim if I don't get what I want. And blame all kinds of shit on Oli.
The rest on God.
Barbara.
But if you can hear this call of Ezekiel, and you can understand the vision that he saw, then a mystery is going to take place in your life, and you'll never again be the same. Because you will be empowered for service. You'll be empowered for life. Instead of death. You'll be empowered for edification instead of destruction. And your inheritance will be true instead of the inheritance of Adam, which is death, separation, lying, cheating, stealing. But it costs you something to hear this. It costs you the illusion of you. It costs you to be the right to be the subject of your sense. I want you to try to hear me. I want you to understand this. What would you do if I came in here and I said, no, I can't do that.
Sure you can.
No.
Well, give it a try. Just give it a try. Let us decide.
Don't do it.
Let us decide.
Huh?
Don't do it.
Why?
It's too mean.
Why?
Just don't do it.
Do what?
What you're thinking about doing.
What am I thinking about doing?
Too mean.
How do you know what I'm thinking about doing?
Here's the problem.
What?
You're going to say, what would you think if I came in here and said I'm feeling guilty and bad because I didn't do this and I didn't do that?
Well, that was part of it.
That's what you're going to say.
I was going to go through the whole...
Oh. Okay. Maybe whole, I was just feeling you were going to start.
Start over there. This
start. Shoot to your right.
Huh?
Start over there.
That's the good side.
Yeah, I know.
Those are the good. This is the good part over here.
What does that tell you? If those are the good, what does that tell you?
It tells you I'm really
deep
trouble.
From Burnett to Powell.
No, start the middle.
No, here's the cutoff line right here.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. These last few days, I've just been really feeling guilty about my life and my aimless purpose and never being able to get anything done.
Bullshit.
You gonna start drinking?
I think I really have an urge to start drinking.
Good watch TV.
And I really hate my job because it's just not fulfilling.
Bullshit. Too much work. Just work all the time. Keep going.
You're begging for trouble, aren't you?
Keep going.
Hear the word of the Lord. And hear it as something that can empower you to maybe for the first time in your life get your eyes off yourself. Wouldn't that be kind of nice? The problem with life is, here's the problem. The problem with life is that you can't get your eyes off yourself until you find something more important than yourself, and you just haven't succeeded in doing that yet.
The ego will never surrender to anything larger than itself.
That's right. And it doesn't believe there's anything larger than itself, otherwise it wouldn't be the ego. I love that. I quoted it this morning. But vanity is so rooted in the heart of man that those who write about it want the glory of having written it well, and those who read about it want to have the glory of having read it. All business. Anyway, it came to pass. Now, does anybody know where Ezekiel was when it came to pass? Remember what it says? When it says it came to pass, it means something really, really big is going to happen. And if it's good, it's really, really good. And if it's bad, it's really, really bad. Does anybody know where he was?
Babylon.
Yeah. Therefore, you understand that you cannot understand the book of Ezekiel. What? Are you picking on her? What? What are you doing?
Wiping the brown off of my nose.
One of the hallmarks of Babylon is this thing about comparisons. And so if somebody outdoes you, then you have to label it like it's brown nose or
there goes the foot.
Anything else you want to put in your mouth? Hear me. Ezekiel cannot be understood in Egypt, here in the world. Cannot be understood in the wilderness. There's no need for Ezekiel in the promise. Ezekiel can only be understood if you're in Babylon. Now, trust me in this. All of you are in Babylon. This beast, the one that was in the world, has been replaced by the one that's coming up with two little horns like a lamb. He's trying to be nice, little beastie. It's the get it, I'm trying to get it right beast. Mm-hmm. Beast in the world, he doesn't give a shit about being right. He just cares about survival of the fittest. Now it came to pass, and this is read every single Pentecost since Ezekiel was written. Anybody know when Ezekiel was written?
Crystal probably does. on a Tuesday.
It was a pleasant afternoon.
But don't anybody interrupt this time.
It's 593 B.C. Now it came to pass in the 30th year in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Now what did he see when the heavens opened? What he saw a time rip, and he saw through the fire, when time ripped and the fire was over the heads of the 120, they only saw the fire. But Ezekiel saw through the fire, and he saw almost to the throne of God. And the only way he could describe it was this weird vision. Now, we're going to see this thing that Hal Lindsey says is a helicopter. And it's one of the helicopters that Russia's going to attack Israel with. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. Didn't say whirlwind. It says a threshing wind. A threshing floor wind. And all of times, the threshing floor wind comes out of the north, always. And the wind from the north to the flesh, to the senses, will always be seen as evil. Anytime in the scriptures, the compass point of the north is always evil. And it's always evil from the standpoint of the senses. But and it's always, you know. But from God's standpoint, what the flesh thinks of as evil is a threshing floor wind. Anytime you think of the flesh that something's evil, you can promise, you can be assured it's good. Like any time that you agree with something that's highly esteemed among men, you know it's an abomination unto God. Anytime the flesh thinks it's something evil, I promise you it's God. Do you believe me? That's the only hope of the flesh, especially the flesh that's always complaining, is that it can be sanctified by all of a sudden remembering that if you're complaining about something, it's the hand of God on you. Anybody understand that a little bit? Threshing floor wind coming out of the north. Senses always think that anything that comes from the north is evil. Anything that you complain about is God's whirlwind, threshing floor, getting rid of the chaff. Therefore, if you're complaining about it, you can be assured it's from God.
Not the complaining.
He's been awful loud lately.
Yeah. The complaining.
Complaining isn't from God. Thank you. I appreciate you pointing that out to us.
I will class. It's a good thing you were here to help.
Huh?
It's a good thing you were here to help.
I know. I couldn't have done it without him.
It's a good song.
The guy to my right.
Good.
From the north.
And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is the color of amber. Out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of man, or of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. What it says is each of the four beasts only had one foot. There's a whole other story. I won't get into that tonight. And the sole of their foot was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. In other words, there was never a swerving. There was no turning or doubting or... Now it gets interesting. As for the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, they had, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four also had the face of an eagle. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
I see.
No. First of all, each of the, when Israel camped, each of the four, they camped by compass point, the cardinal points of the compass, and every time they camped, one tribe was to the north, one tribe, and always, another tribe was to the south, another tribe was to the east, another tribe to the west, and the others were in, you know, the east, southeast, and... But the four cardinal points were these, and each one of the tribes had a symbol of an animal on their staff.
Why?
Because they symbolized one of the 12 signs of the zodiac, and they symbolized this beast. And the lion was who?
Christ.
Judah. You guys can read about it later. In Numbers 2, it lists each of these tribes had as compass points. One of these days, when we get back to the stars, we'll understand this better. Because you can't understand this, nor can you understand Daniel's vision, nor can you understand the book of Revelation unless you understand the layout of the tribes and how they refer to these animals.
That's really interesting because, you know, I never thought of that. That enormous mass of people and how they would be able to stay within their own groups, so to speak.
It's done by the cardinal points of the compass.
Perfect sense.
Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of everyone were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went everyone straight forward. Whether the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. They went up and down among the living creature, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. The living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. And now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they had one likeness. And the four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel within a wheel. Their appearance and their work was as a wheel within a wheel.
Were they made by their work?
Everything they did. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their wings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And the rings or rims of the wings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creature went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went whither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and on every one had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters and the voice of the Almighty. And that's what that was what the noise they heard on the Feast of Pentecost, in the temple. They heard the wings of this beast. And the fire they saw was the fire of this beast. This. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters. This is the voice of the Almighty. The voice of speech is the voice of a host. And when they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, and they let down their wings. Now, just, you got to imagine this. When the Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled in the temple, they had just read this. Every person that named the name of God had to have read this. And those that had eyes to see and ears to hear understood what the sound and the sight was in the temple. Well, if you can hear me, what this is a description of is eternity enfolding time. The wheel within a wheel. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, and they had let down their wings, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. And I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance, the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, let's see if we can understand what he's just described. Go to Revelation somewhere. Or Revelation 4.
Go into Revelation.
Now remember, what has just happened is he was in a vision in Babylon, and because of his obedience, the heavens opened, and he saw. He's not any different than you and I. Ezekiel isn't some great person. He's just flesh and blood, like Elijah or Moses. But one that took the risk of faith. see what John saw when he saw this. John, this is John describing the same thing. All right? The book of Revelation. You ready? Okay, the first thing you have to understand is what happens in Revelation 1 through 3 is that it's the message to the angel of the seven churches. And the seven churches are the seven types, or classes of churches, or another one view, and in another view it's the seven churches in linear time, the 7 days of linear time. But the message to the angel of the church, it doesn't mean there's some big angel up there. It means, in this case, I am the angel, because I am the speaker. That's what the word means. It doesn't mean some angelic being. It means the one who is speaking. And so if you've understood the message to the angel of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, in the first three chapters, then you can begin to understand chapter 4. But we'll assume you understand it for the time being. Is that a safe assumption? After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. What happened here in Ezekiel? Anyway, he looked and he saw
heavens were open.
The heavens were open. Here the door was open. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. Now remember, Ezekiel saw this same thing 600 years earlier. And you can see the same thing today. And that means the thing that you're seeing isn't changing. That's why the only way you can understand the book of Revelation is if you are at the mindset of where it was written. It was written out of time. And therefore, if you try to apply linear time to the book of Revelation, you'll get all screwed up. Just like you try to, that's what they do with the rest of the Bible. You can't understand any of the Bible from the standpoint of time. That's why you have to look at the scriptures through the eyes of the cross. Otherwise, you'll come up with 50,000 different interpretations. And you'll end up with as many denominations as there are strong leaders. All right.
It sort of hit me that if you tear what you call reality and see something, and then 600 years later, tear what we call reality, and it's the same thing, then what happened during those 600 years in what we call reality really doesn't matter that much.
Right, and that's what that wheel within the wheel was. The wheel within the wheel was the passage of time within eternity.
A little fishbowl, God's fishbowl.
Nothing, hear me. Nothing, absolutely nothing that you can perceive with your senses is worth anything. It's meaningless. But if you see differences, in other words, if you rank what you see with your senses, it's the evidence you haven't seen eternity. And so all the perverts, from the beginning of time, they've tried to take this message and bring it into time. Every time they did, God smacked them. Because they tried to bring the glory of God to flesh. You hear first with the ear, just as they first heard at Pentecost with the ear, just as Ezekiel first heard with the ear. Then he saw what he heard. And then by the way we are constructed, you will do what you see. That's why preaching is the only thing that matters. Because if you can hear with your ear, then God will cause your eyes to be open so that you can see with your eyes. And if you see, the only thing you'll see is Jesus. And as you see him, you shall be like him. That's all you shall do. There's no more distinctions about important things or unimportant things. It's all just the test for the mystery of God. All right. And immediately I was in the spirit. That means he was abandoned. And behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat on the throne, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. What did you see? Same damn thing that Ezekiel saw. And round about the throne were 24 seats. These are the 24 courses of the priesthood. The throne is the throne of God. There were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And the white raiment was the righteousness of Christ only. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. The crown of what? I'll take all night if I go through all the symbolism. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and a voice and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of God, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal.
So
your name
is in the Bible.
So Ed's in the Bible and
crystal. Before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion. Second beast like a calf or an oxen is what it really says. But for the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like an eagle. What do we see in Ezekiel?
Same thing.
The fourth was like an eagle. And the four beasts each had each of them six wings run about them. What happened? They grew two more wings.
No.
It is a seraphim.
Two in front, two in back, and two in the...
No. Remember? In his vision, they appeared, Ezekiel had two wings up, two wings to the sides, and they had what they thought were hands.
Anyway,
I don't get into that. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Stop a minute. Essentially the same vision, 600 years later. But this one fans the vision because he saw through. Remember, okay, we got the fire scene on the Feast of Pentecost when it was fulfilled. We've got Ezekiel seeing through farther into this wheel within a wheel. And now we have John seeing farther. He saw all of the same things, but he saw that the purpose of these four beasts were to praise the throne of God. Now, what I want you to hear is that is the only reality. It's the only thing that hasn't changed with time. By definition, it is the word of truth. We're going to see the same thing what Daniel saw in a minute. And then Daniel saw the real, and then he saw the counterfeit. The only thing worth giving any importance to is truth. And by definition, if the thing that you're giving importance to changes with time, it can't be true.
I was just thinking, you know, it's in all these different times, it was the same. There's no changing.
No change. Now, do you know when Ezekiel lived? Who was the key main person around the time of Ezekiel?
This is our third story. Elijah.
No, Josiah. Anyway,
Toby, in verse 5 of chapter 4 of Revelation, what is the seven spirits of God?
What is it? What do you think it is?
Well, there's something about seven lampstands.
Seven churches.
Seven churches.
Seven lampstands. Seven eyes. Seven spirits. There are seven seals. There are seven plagues.
Seven big. If we would ever study astrology.
I want to smack you.
I gotta ask you something. I really don't want to, because this is going to show how stupid I am. But the same thing is going on in my mind as was when I was like seven or something when I first heard this, because I remember this. Is this picture of the elders around casting down their crowns and all this, is this actually what's going on in heaven? Or is this somehow, here's the thought that goes to my head. Is this all that goes on in heaven? A bunch of guys falling down every time some bees say something, guys fall down, take their crowns off, then they get up, then the bees say something, they take their crowns. I mean,
that's all that's going on here.
That's all that can be understood by the thing that we have called a mind.
That's not good enough.
As a child, my reaction to that was, well, that's dumb. You know, it's like nothing happens. It's the same thing over and over forever.
It's the same moment. How can it be over and over if it's forever?
That's what I
don't. It's going to make your brain hurt.
Am I saying clearly
it's going to make your brain hurt?
What I'm trying to say is, it's like eternity is a really long time. So what I'm...
Eternity is no time.
What I'm thinking, I know, but what I'm stuck on is, it's over and over and over. These guys get down,
no,
get up,
how can it be over and over and over again if there's no time?
It's just always.
They don't ever stop for golf or anything?
Or a hamburger, they'll pull into Wendy's?
No, stop. Yeah. You don't try to think about... You get this English language version of eternity, that it's a long, long time. So you're going to do the same thing over and over and over.
No,
doesn't have anything to do with time.
It's a nightmare.
So this is
like Groundhog Day.
It's like the barbershop. Over and over again. That's what,
like, it's like the barbershop.
I want you to imagine the highest pleasure you have ever had in your life. A moment. Whack!
That's easy.
I know. That takes a great deal of thought, doesn't it? Whether it came by hand or by
electrical device.
Or marital aid.
Or marital aid.
Okay, wait a minute. We just offended. We've offended Rex.
Water cake.
There's a lemonade.
Anyway,
trying to think of the
that highest order, the highest that you can imagine.
Away
is the moment that's continuous. It's ecstasy beyond comprehension.
Well, Harry was trying to explain, you know, somebody said something, these guys took their crowns off and then they bowed down. It's like last week we were talking about, you screw up, you see it, and you repent from it, and you're back to rest. And it's like it's supposed to be constant, but we're having to go through a cycle. It's only because we're going through the cycle, time passes.
Right.
If you get to where those guys are, they just stay there.
Now, okay, do you have an image now that something special has happened to Ezekiel? He didn't see a bunch of helicopters. He looked through the veil of time and saw the mystery of God. Okay? Now, because of that, now hear me closely. There is no one on the face of the earth that has ever been called by God that had not experienced that. If someone has running around saying they have a call of God in their life and hasn't experienced that, God didn't call them, he didn't send them, he didn't even talk to them, he didn't even know their first name. And they're running around in the name of God, blaspheming his name among the Gentiles, preventing those that should be let in, and letting in those that should be prevented. It's not negotiable. It's not something that you can make up. You can't get to this place by going to Bible college. The only Bible school in the scripture is a school for Pharisees. You could only get to this place by totally coming to the end of yourself, agreeing that you're dead. Then and only then does a veil open. And it opens equally for all. The moment you're ready to lose all things, including, and most important, the right to yourself, then you can experience this. Then is the call certain and secure. Otherwise, they're just Christian perverts. Running around telling people about something they read about. Trying to make converts to make sure, because if they can make a convert, then they must believe what they believe. Got it?
It's like what you just said means that so many times we've talked about this, I've been right in what I've said. You are different than me.
No, I'm not.
You've seen something I haven't seen. You've experienced something I haven't seen. You live in a dimension I don't live in. Didn't you just say, if you haven't experienced this?
There isn't a call of God on your life to be a preacher.
Oh, okay. As opposed to a disciple or a person to believe.
But this experience is available to all.
Those are different gifts. One is a preaching.
Right. Yeah, the body isn't made up of every. You don't have to have had Ezekiel's experience to be in the body of Christ.
Okay.
I thought. No, you misunderstood what I said.
Good.
Okay? No, that's just silly.
The body needs an eye, it needs a hand, and it needs these different parts.
Will you tell me why they only have one foot?
Hmm?
Just tell us why they only
have one foot. The question is not only do they only have one foot, but it's a calf's foot.
It's a calf's foot, yeah.
Why don't you think about it?
I haven't think. I've been thinking about it ever since you...
It has something...
Ever since you wouldn't tell
it's
us.
A straight foot.
It has something to do with carbon. All right. We got it now. Now Ezekiel sees all this stuff. He's blown away.
Yeah.
When he's fallen on his face as if he is dead.
Okay.
Same thing. Exactly. Everybody that sees God falls on their face as dead. And they fall on their face as dead, not because somebody blows on them, but because they are overpowered by the holiness of God. All right, now, this next part, okay. See, chapter 2 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's not going to get his marching orders. What? We could spend all night in Revelation if you want to. He said unto me, okay, he just fell on his face. And in the Greek, it means he fell as dead. And he said unto me, Son of man, speak. Excuse me. Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee.
Only before you go on, tell me something about Son of Man.
Okay. Every time the Son of Man is used, it's speaking of Messiah.
Say that again.
Because he's addressing Ezekiel as Son of Man.
Huh?
He's addressing Ezekiel.
Because he's seen, because he's the Spirit...
Speaking to Christ in Ezekiel?
Right.
Cool.
Ezekiel is just a vessel.
Cool.
That's
a good question, Rex.
Didn't have to tell
them.
Blessings on Rex.
So wait a minute.
Let me get this straight. Rex asked a damn question. He gets a blessing. I answer the question. I get nothing but grief.
Nothing changes. It opened it up.
That's what it's supposed to be.
800 years you've been doing this.
So this is the Father. This isn't the Son speaking. This is the Father speaking.
It's Father speaking.
Cool.
This is because he's talking from the throne of God. big guy. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. In other words, the moment he said, Son of Man, the Word was the Word, but raised him as from the dead. It's the same thing that happened.
Oh, jeez. That's what happened to Christ in the grave. He spoke to him and said, Son of Man.
It's the same thing that happened. You heard me talk about this before, but the tabernacle, all the guys, nobody knew, all the guys, each guy had a little piece to build in the tabernacle. So they all finished their cunning workmanship. And they folded it all up and set it on Moses' lawn. And it sat there for 3 months.
It's a little like Sherry's new house.
Sat there until Pentecost. On Pentecost, the tabernacle reared itself. You got it? See, okay, so quit sweating. See, that's why you got to get your eyes off yourself. You got to stop. Because the moment you start thinking about yourself, then the temple is full of something other than the word of the Lord. Temple has to be quiet for a space of a half hour. So shut the fuck up. Can I say that?
Just did.
Huh?
Shut I said it to myself today.
Ruined another tape.
Oh, yeah. I ruined another tape, according to
Gary. I looked around, I was like, I don't know what
this is. Can't say anything to Gary.
And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. Okay, who are the children of Israel today?
Those who say they're believers in God.
Right. Doesn't matter what their label is. Anybody that says they believe in one God is Israel. Rebellious Israel, but Israel. That's why Paul always said to the Jew first and then the Gentile. Got it?
And the Jew is the one that proclaims to believe in one God.
Right. It doesn't matter whether he calls himself a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian. That's why in the Revelation it talks about that say they are of the synagogue of Israel, but in truth are of the synagogue of Satan. Synagogue of, you don't want to hear that. Synagogue of Satan has like a really bad ring to it.
I always thought that would be a great name for a novel.
Synagogue of Satan.
Yeah, but I don't want to like play for the baseball team.
Huh? You have been. You've been Chinese, you've been playing Chinese baseball for the Synagogue of Satan.
And I don't even like baseball.
He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Jesus said, go to John 20, 21. Keep your finger here.
Yes, I
do. Please.
Yes, so Jesus could then again.
John 20, verse 21. Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. What it says, that's a really kind of a bad translation. It says, as my Father sent me, in the same manner I send you. In other words, in the same way that it's the same call that Ezekiel is receiving from God to Christ in him, to Christ after the flesh, to Christ in you. You got it? You're sent. You're sent only to the widows and orphans, to those that are fatherless, to those without a covering, to those in need. That's who you're sent to.
You know, it gets me to think that I go to work, you know, and whine about like a task or, and the whole time that's what I should be doing.
Right. You have been sent. You have a call in your life. You've been sent.
Yeah.
you know, not to do what I do. I do what I do. I don't, you know, you do what you do.
Yeah, it's not a question of preaching. It's a question of having expressive relationships with the people around you, as opposed to utilitarian. Just be.
And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. What does impudent mean? Impudent means it means that you have a head or a forehead that takes stands. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, matter. In other words, it doesn't matter. It's not your business whether they respond or not. You speak. You speak what you know. You don't try to speak what you don't know. And what you know is what's been mixed with faith in you. It's not something you heard me say. Unless it's real in you, you won't. I mean, just speak what you know to be true. Don't go memorizing Bible phrases, then you'd be like those little piss ants on the street corner. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of, and a prophet is one who prophesies, who just says what's there. Boom, blah, boom, blah, blah, boom. You don't go trying to be thus, you know, you just say it. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and it was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. To the senses, lamentation, mourning, and woe. It's a flying scroll in Zechariah. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And it should say scroll, by the way. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. That's why we are promised a land that floweth with milk and honey. And he said, Son of man, he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel. In other words, you can't go, don't try to, Israel is one whose heart is circumcised. That's the definition in Deuteronomy, and it's the definition in Romans. And one whose heart is circumcised is one who is in the weakened position where they no longer fear the faces of men. It's the widows and orphans. Not for those with a plan, not for those with an agenda. They'll just try to put the name of God in their agenda. You talk to them, the hell freezes over. If they were in Russia, they'd be a good communist. If they were in... It's whatever the current form of thinking is. Doesn't mean anything. Oh, they can say Jesus all the time. It doesn't mean anything. It means squat. So it's not to a people of a strange speech or a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto thee, me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. But you still first have to go to the Jew and then the Gentile. In your world, you go to first to the Jew and then the Gentile.
Seems like earlier.
And the reason you go to the Jew first, or to the believer first, is so that you can find out, you can be tested to find out what you believe.
Seems like before he said most of them were hard and impudent, and then he says all.
Do what? No, I'm sorry.
Verse 7, he says most were rebellious and most were...
They are very rebellious. Most means very. Okay. Doesn't mean like
quantity.
It means it should say very rebellious. Behold, I've made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Now, the idea of your foreheads, universally in the scriptures, that is, that's how you think. And if God has made you have singular purpose, then what the hell, it doesn't matter what somebody says or does or doesn't do, that's immaterial. Are you still going to believe you're lying? You're going to believe your lying eyes? What are you going to believe, your husband or your lying eyes? Everybody heard that joke, so I won't go into that. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Do you know that all of the people that ended up, hundreds and hundreds of thousands, millions maybe, of Jews were taken to Babylon in the captivity? And something like 16,000 came back. You know why? Because
they did well
in Babylon. It's only the failures that came back with Nehemiah and Ezra. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. And I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me, and I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, and dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his way, or from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand.
Really?
You better hear it. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and also thou hast delivered thy own soul. The hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, Arise, and go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. And then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there by the glory, as the glory which I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell on my face. The Spirit entered into me and sat me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me, Go and shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them. And thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear. He that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Every Pentecost, since almost 600 years before Christ, that has been read. Yeah. I'll go to Acts 2 a minute. I'll show you something. Then we'll quit. Any self-seeking is wicked. It's foolish. It's stupid. Iniquity in the Hebrew is the word aven, A-V-E-N. It means self-seeking. And when the day of Pentecost was fulfilled, or fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. There was a sound of the wind, but there was no wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, the sound did. It should be filled all the temple. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, but it wasn't fire. And it sat upon each of them, or it was divided. It shouldn't say sat, that's a bad translation. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, that sound, hearing that sound and seeing that fire, was the same that Ezekiel, the same sound that Ezekiel heard, the same fire that Ezekiel saw, the same sound that John heard, and the same fire that John saw. And it's when time rips in front of you, and therein is eternity. It's an awesome sight. Amen?
Amen. So this thing about if they will hear, if they will forbear, at this Pentecost, there were a whole bunch of people who heard what Peter said and saw, and some believed and were filled with the Spirit, most were.
Pentecost was when the law was given, and 3,000 were killed for rebellion. Pentecost is when the Spirit was given, and 3,000 were added to the church. Pentecost was the day the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters of creation. Pentecost was when God put us in such a position where we could never again understand each other purposefully. Oh, if only someone would, if only my husband wouldn't understand me.
And you know, that's really so, I don't know how many times we've sat in front of you and I said, X, Y, Z, and I could say, what did she say? And you said, she said X, Y, Z. You know, it's
and vice versa.
And vice versa, that's right.
I'm reminded of Carl Jung. Christ, and how when he spoke, you know, to whether it was the apostles or whoever, that it was never in true understanding. It was always, you know what I mean, in a sideways. And the same here in trying to describe what they saw in their vision, because otherwise flesh would be able to understand the mystery.
Well, plus they couldn't describe it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's I mean, I had this experience three different times. I can't describe it.
Yeah, how do you describe time folding in on itself within eternity?
It's a wheel within a wheel.
Yeah. Explain that to me.
Pretty neat stuff.
Very neat stuff.
Anybody have any thoughts?
Sweet as honey.
Just the place to live, but I mean, just throughout, I mean, it doesn't change.
Right. Yeah, it was important that I showed you that Ezekiel saw the same thing as John saw. But you, it's available to you to see. And always when it's the symbolism of eating, like that, and that's what the meaning of the offerings and the only way you understand them is it's what you eat is what gives you sustenance. And so, and what gives you sustenance is, if it's deprived from you, is what causes you to be upset. And so, if anything, I mean, any time that you get upset, you know, mad at people or something, it has nothing to do with them. It's because it's the indicator that you've been eating the wrong food. Because your sustenance wasn't this word of God. Your sustenance was somebody's response to you. Amen? See that you're not just... I mean, see that you have been called. You have been sent. You don't have to worry about what you don't know. You just speak what you do know. Don't make it up. Don't act like you believe it if you don't. Because, I mean, the problem with, especially if you're talking to somebody that's, you know, one of these young people, is because their BS detector is really good. Okay. Anybody have any thoughts, questions, answers? Huh? Ready for Pentecost. Pentecost is good. Passover is acceptance. Pentecost is empowerment. Tabernacles is destiny.
A funny thought. How long is it between Tabernacles and Pentecost?
Between Tabernacles, I mean, well, it's the other way around. It's the first feast is Pentecost, I mean, Passover. 50 days later is Pentecost. And 4 months later is about, is Passover. And it's just lightning like a son of... I mean, Tabernacles. It's lightning like a son of a bitch.
Huh?
It's just a huge lightning. We just saw the beast. Take a big guy.